Good morning. Welcome. This is Ephesus Baptist Church. This is God's house, the house he's provided for us to come and to worship and to praise him. And I ask you, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
Amen. It is so good to see so many of you here this morning on this last Sunday in November. It is that time of year. And we'll talk about that in a moment, but first I want to read our text this morning. It's one short verse, comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. I invite you to follow along in your Bibles as I read 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. May God add his blessing to the reading, hearing, and studying of his word. Christmas is a time for giving. Therefore, Christmas is a time for shopping. And the shopping began Friday for a lot of us. And I wonder how many of you were at the stores at 4 a.m. Now, I don't want you to raise your hand because I really don't want to think you're crazy. But that's all we have seen the last two or three weeks is this store is going to open at 4 a.m., that store is going to open at 5, this one's going to open at 7. Well, I know one person who shopped on Thursday, Thanksgiving Day. I had gone and picked up a prescription, I think it was on Wednesday, and Connie had needed some Christmas lights, and so I had no cash, so I charged the Christmas lights and the prescription on a credit card we have just for prescription purchases. And so on Thursday, I couldn't talk, didn't feel well. And she said, I'm going to go exchange the Christmas lights. I nodded that that was fine. So I gave her the receipt and the credit card in case they needed them to exchange them. And she came back, and I said, where's the receipt? And she handed me a receipt this long. And it wasn't prescriptions on there either, believe me. But that's okay. We discussed that for a brief moment. Ever since the wise men arrived from the east, and showed up at the stable carrying gold and frankincense and myrrh, people have been exchanging gifts at Christmas. And of course, it's a little more complicated today than it was for the wise men. They didn't have to contend with going from store to store and dealing with parents looking for the Xbox 360 and the exact game that goes with the Wii. Computer attachment. They didn't have to worry about exchanges or colors or sizes. They didn't have to deal with Barbie dolls and G.I. Joe action figures and Transformers. There was just gold and frankincense and myrrh. Well, this year, like every year, millions of people, both children and adults, will open millions of gifts just in this country. And after Christmas, many, many of those gifts will be exchanged and returned. But there is one gift which meets everyone's needs. It's a gift that will never break. It will never wear out. It will never need repairing. It's appropriate for a child, a teenager, an adult, a boy, a girl, a man, or a woman. It makes no difference. And the gift we all need, the most valuable gift of all, is the baby in the manger. He is the reason for the season. Not the lights, not the Christmas songs, not the holiday trees, not happy holidays, but Christmas, the birth of Christ. And on Christmas Day, we celebrate the fact that God gave us the gift of His own Son. And through faith in Him, we can be forgiven of our sins and have eternal life. For God so loved the world, He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And today I want to point out three facts that I believe are important regarding this greatest of all. The first is the gift, as we know, is Jesus Himself. God offers us a gift of knowing Jesus, of having a relationship with Him, of fellowshipping with Him. And He also, in that gift, includes an offer for us to be known and to be loved by Jesus. What a wonderful, wonderful gift the Lord gave us. And Jesus states in John chapter 15, I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I made known to you. And in chapter 17, Jesus prays to God, now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And I wonder this morning, have you received this gift? Do you have the type of relationship with Jesus about which I'm talking? Do you know Him as friend? Is He one in whom you confide? Is He a counselor from whom you seek advice? Do you feel at ease in His presence? Or do you have to tidy up your spiritual home before He comes and visits and comes into your life? If you do not have this type of relationship with Jesus, the good news is you can. All you have to do is ask. Come to Him in prayer and confess your sins and ask Him for His forgiveness and allow Him into your heart, and you can have this personal relationship. You know, it may seem strange talking about spending time with Jesus and talking to Him as though He were flesh and blood person, someone we can hear and see and touch. Well, most Christians do not claim to see visions or to hear voices, but our fellowship with Jesus is real. He is present with us, and His Spirit lives in us, and He speaks to us through His Word, and we speak to Him through prayer. John, the beloved disciple, writes, we proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. People sometimes think of Christianity as nothing but responsibilities, nothing but a bunch of rules, nothing but a bunch of do's and don'ts, and mostly don'ts, like going to church when you want to stay home and sleep, or go to the race, or be at the lake, or watch television. Some people see the Christian life as just nothing but a bunch of rules, and others view Christianity more positively. They view it primarily in terms of its benefits to us, the improved relationships and stronger marriages that it produces, the guidance it gives in raising children, and emotional strength it gives to deal with difficult situations such as deaths and loss of income and financial strife and maybe children who are in trouble with the law. Yet, even these benefits miss the mark. The essence of Christianity is not rules. It's not do's and don'ts. It's not even the benefits we receive. It is the relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. The Christian life brings many benefits, joy and peace and hope. Have of these all come through Jesus, and they flow from a relationship with Him. If you do not have that relationship, you will not know the benefits, the hope, the joy, the peace that you can derive from being a Christian. Your greatest gift to your spouse, your children, or your grandchildren this Christmas is not the brightly colored wrapped boxes under the tree. It's a relationship that you can give them, which includes your love and your time and your attention and your commitment to be there when they need you. And everything flows from this relationship, everything else. If you have this type of relationship, you will have a full and vibrant and blessed family life. But it must begin with you giving of yourself. And in the same way, God's greatest gift to us is the relationship with His Son, Jesus, and a relationship with God through His Son. Second, this greatest gift has great value. You know, there's truly nothing more desirable than knowing Jesus, but many people just do not grasp the concept. Their eyes have not been opened. They look into the manger and they do not see a king. They do not see a savior. They do not see the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. They see nothing special at all because they do not have eyes of faith. All they see is an ordinary human being. So they pass by the child in the manger and go straight for the gold and frankincense and myrrh sitting off to the side. They don't want the baby, they want the gifts. And the question is, which do you want more? The toys and the trinkets of this life, which will inevitably crumble and return to dust? Or do you want a relationship with Jesus Christ, which lasts an eternity and which can give you eternal life with Him in heaven? Having a relationship with Jesus is more than anything else in the world. In fact, knowing Jesus is worth everything in the world. We shall never be disappointed with Him. God's gift to us, this child in the manger, is worth more than anything we could ever possess. The sheiks of the oil fields that make $1 million a week have nothing compared to a relationship with Jesus, to being a child of God. And the question is, does your life reflect this relationship? Do you know Jesus? Are you seeking to know Him? Or are you going past the manger, right to the gifts, to the gold and the frankincense and the myrrh? Finally, the last point is this gift must be received. It's available to anyone, rich and poor, tall and short, thin and chubby. It's available to all of us. Yet God does not force it upon us. Think about it. We've talked about this before. If God wished, He could program us all so we would just love Him and praise Him and bow down to Him like robots. But He gave us free will. He wanted our love to be a love that we wanted to give freely. That we wanted the gift He gave us. And therefore, we gave ourselves to Him. We must take this package. We must open it. And we must accept the gift as our own. And we each have to make the decision to receive Jesus into our lives. God's Word tells us the gift is available. I've told you from this pulpit. You've heard it from your Sunday school teachers. You've heard it from Bible study. You've heard it. If you were a RA or a GA or in the WMU, you have to make the decision to receive Jesus into your life. Now, not all that heard about Jesus, not all that heard his teachings, not all that attended church, and not all who tried to follow the golden rule received Jesus. They were merely going through the motions. They thought they knew what they had to do, but none of them received the gift of Jesus and therefore did not have eternal life. Have of those who opened that package, who opened that gift and said, Lord, please come into my life. Please forgive me, a sinner. They received Christ and eternal life was theirs. Many believe that God's love must be earned by performing some good deed. And I don't know how else to get the message out. I'm not talking necessarily here. We certainly mentioned this from this pulpit. I don't know how we get the message across this nation, across this county, across this state, across this world, that God's forgiveness cannot be earned. We cannot be good enough to merit his acceptance of us. A gift you must purchase or a gift you must earn is not a gift at all. And it's incorrect to call it a gift. A gift is what it says. It's free. You merely must receive it and accept it. Now, maybe you opened this gift I'm talking about and put it on the shelf some time ago, and you just haven't taken it off and dusted it off lately. And you kept meaning to, but you were busy and distracted, and now this time of the year with shopping and cooking and going and traveling, we just don't have time. Maybe you haven't heard enough to dust off that gift and give attention and time that Jesus deserved. Maybe your gift is still under the tree, wrapped up. You've never even opened it. My dad died in 1996, and he had a pair of socks from his mother, who died when I was six, Grandma Stanley. And they were a Christmas gift, and she had wrapped them up just in a piece of paper, not a box. And, of course, he knew they were socks, and he kept them all those years. But think about it. Other than the sentimental value, they were of no use to him. If he wasn't wearing them, he wasn't using them as socks, he wasn't using them as death cloths. If you don't unwrap that box and take out the gift and accept it and say, thank you, Lord, I accept your son as my personal savior, then you don't get the benefits at all. And so my appeal to you is this morning, do not leave Jesus on the shelf. Do not leave him still under the tree. Take him into your heart and into your life today. God's gift has a tag with your name on it. And all you have to do is just take that gift and open it up and accept it and have Jesus to be there for the rest of your life and through eternity. And what better way than today than to renew your commitment to Jesus? Or what better time is it than this time of the year, the Christmas season, to begin a new life of fellowship with Jesus, a new life of joy and peace and hope? And we invite you to do that this morning. If you've put Jesus on a shelf, if you haven't talked to him in a while, do that while we're singing that hymn of invitation. You can do it right there. You can come forward at the altar and pray. If you haven't accepted Jesus, if you haven't opened that gift, we invite you to come forward and say, I confess my sins and I profess my faith in Jesus. And we invite you to do that as we sing a hymn of invitation. number 550. And again, we